It is good to be back with you all here at Grace Reformed Baptist Church. My name is Lee Calicut, and I send you greetings from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. It is a pleasure to be back a second week. I have most certainly enjoyed my time here, and I do want to say I am grateful for your hospitality and your warm and welcoming spirits to me the past two Sundays. So as we continue and perhaps go our separate ways for the time, I know you will be in my prayers, and I hope I will be in yours as well. So let's turn to the book of James. We're going to look at the theme and topic of being a doer of the word. I thought it was timely for the first Sunday of the year to start off our year thinking about what it means to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And so James chapter 1, we will look at verses 19 through 25. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. That ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Father, now I ask by your Spirit, you would simply help us as we sit underneath your word. You would help us hear it. You would help us receive it. But Lord, by the power of your Spirit, you would help us do it. So we pray that you would help us in this moment. Amen. So James's central theme in this passage is about practical Christian living. How we are to live. How we are to grow. How we are to be obedient, how we are to give our lives as a living sacrifice, how to grow into maturity as a follower of Jesus Christ. And it would be no surprise to you that the Christian pathway to maturity is through the Word of God. It is through hearing the Word of God, receiving the Word of God, and then we will also see it is through doing the Word of God. It is that pathway of discipleship. Now, before we get started on what it means to be a doer of the word, I want to warn us about two ditches that we could easily fall into in matters of this. The first ditch is the one that James warns us about specifically in the text, is to be a hearer only and not a doer. That means we are going to get a bunch of knowledge and a bunch of information and perhaps even receive the knowledge that puffs up. But we must learn that Christianity is not simply an academic or intellectual endeavor that leads to some sort of cold intellectualism. That is one ditch we do not want to fall in. But then there's a second ditch that is implied through the text. And it's that being also, because it says you want to be a hearer, right? You're supposed to hear the word. But then some people can fall into another ditch of actually being a doer only. And not having heard the word of God, not having sound doctrine. This would lead to a zeal without knowledge. But now we also know that Christianity is not social services. And we are not to be doctrinally ignorant doers. So we want to avoid both of those ditches. But what we learn is that it is the word of truth and how God takes his word that we hear and that we receive and that we ultimately do that will lead us to be blessed in our obedience. That this same word that we are going to learn about and that we are studying is the one that causes us to grow and to be obedient. But also in matters of preliminary discussion before we get into more practical application, I want us to take close attention to verse 18 before we get into the portion I just read of verses 19 and 20 through 25. In verse 18, you notice that it says, in the exercise of his will, God's will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. So it is by the word of truth that we as Christians have been brought forth, have been made alive, have been given life. We've been brought forth from deadness to life, from darkness to light. And it is God, by his sovereign free grace, that brings us up as this first fruits of his creation to bring us up through his word to life everlasting. It is his grace that he does that. He does it through the gospel or the law of liberty. He does it through the message and good news of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for sinners as a payment for his people to provide forgiveness and atonement, to be raised again for our justification, and to ascend to the throne of heaven interceding for us. It is that gospel, that word of truth, in which God caused us to hear, God caused us to receive, and he brought us up from deadness to life. Ephesians 1:13 says, in Christ you also, when you heard the word of truth, when you heard the word of truth, and he says, Paul says, it's the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. See, it is God working by his grace through the word of truth to bring us up into life. So we want to be clear before we talk about doing the word that we do not do the word in any sort of way that we would think would merit us any sort of righteousness or right standing before God. It's not earning or achieving salvation. The only reason in which we could even possibly do the word is because God in his grace has brought us to life through his word first. See, this is our starting point. See, the doing of the word can only be accomplished by born-again believers who have experienced the grace of God. And it is through that very grace we've experienced and been brought up that then enables us to live and obey the way that God has told us to do. So see, the imperatives, the commands, the verbs, the imperatives spring forth from the indicatives, right? So what we obey, we ultimately know from what is true. And what is true is that Jesus Christ has brought us to life through his gospel. And now because he has paid it all to him I owe. So we must first understand that grace comes and then obedience, because there's going to be a lot of law here, right? Law, gospel, preaching. But I want to make sure we understand the gospel, and that is what is going to enable us and empower us to actually become doers of the word. And so now he tells us how we become these doers. So it's simple. Hear the word, receive the word, and then do the word. So in verses 19 through 20, we see hear the word. You see, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So he first instructs us that when we're sitting underneath the word of God, we should be quick to hear, fast to hear, moving readily to hear the word of God. And then hear means that we are to give attention to follow carefully, to heed. It quite literally, this word hear means to put into one's ears. We must be quick to put the word of God in our ears. We must be quick to hear. Therefore, Christians, we are to hear the word of God. We also know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That hearing the word of God is vital for Christian maturity. So we are quick to hear, and we are quick to hear what is right and what accords with Scripture. We are quick to be attentive to the word of God. And what is the primary means in which we hear the word of God? It is through the ordinary means of grace, which is the preaching of God's word. Therefore, as we hear the word of God preached, it is vital for us, vital for the preacher to speak and to preach sound doctrine. It is vital for you to hear sound doctrine. It is vital for you to be quick to hear biblical sermons, biblical podcasts, biblical radio, when we must be quick to hear it, to fill our ears with the word of God. And on the flip side of that, if something doesn't line up with the scripture, we must be slow to hear it, right? We don't want to hear that. We must jettison hearing that. And so that means if we are to hear the word of God and be quick to hear, and the primary means in which we hear is through the preaching of God's word, that means during preaching, you should be very attentive. Not slow to hear, not distracted, not on your phone, not thinking about lunch, not thinking about the ball game, but quick to hear the words of eternal life. That it is, James is telling us, it is our duty as believers to be quick to hear the word of God, giving our hearts attention to it. Then he also says slow to speak, which is somewhat in juxtaposition, but too quick to hear, but is telling us the same. It's making the same point in a different way. Quick to hear, but then also slow to speak. Because if you're talking, that means you're not listening. Right? If you're speaking, you aren't listening. Too many people, when they hear the word of God, are oftentimes, and the reason he tells them slow to speak is they're too concerned about interjecting their own opinions. But if the Bible is God's word, or since the Bible is God's word, and it is being taught, and if it is being taught correctly and accurately, that means God is speaking. And if God is speaking, we should be slow to speak. We should be slow to talk about our preconceived notions and opinions. Because if it's God's word, it really doesn't matter what we have to say. It only matters what he has to say. You know, the ministry of the word in the church is actually not a hodgepodge of opinions. The Sunday school teachers, the preachers, the only thing we have to say is, thus says the Lord. That's all we've got. That's all any of us have. And so we must be slow to speak. But when we speak, it must be the word of God. So all that matters is God speaking? Not that we get to speak, but is God speaking? You know, we have small groups at our church. And one question we make sure none of the leaders ever ask is, what does this mean to you? Because we tell them, it doesn't matter what it means to you. It doesn't matter what it means to me. All that matters is what it means. All that matters is that God has said it. So we must be quick to hear, slow to speak when the words of God is being taught. And so when we hear, thus says the Lord, there's actually really nothing to say. We're only to obey. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. He says, slow to anger. Because sometimes, and the reason he puts slow to anger, it may seem like it's out of tune when you hear hearing and speaking. Then he all of a sudden says, slow to anger. But why does he say that? Because if we are quick to hear and also quick to keep our mouths closed, and you know, if the word of God is being preached with power and conviction, it oftentimes confronts us, does it not? It oftentimes convicts us. And what can we do if we're not humbly receiving the word? We need to act out in anger. That's not what I think. I'm not going to do that. This, that, or the other. So we must also, when we hear the word of God, be slow to anger. That we don't run into discussions carried away by our passions. That we really are to truly consider what the word of God is saying and teaching. We are to be Bereans. trusting and obeying, even when we're confronted with the truth of God's word that may even cause us to be a little angry. Something that we don't like. But in verse 20 says, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. That practical righteousness before God. That anger toward God's word is certainly not going to produce maturity and godliness that we all should be desiring as Christians. So we need to hear the word of God. We need to hear it. We need to be slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But then not only do we need to hear it, that's not where we stop. We must also receive it. You know, the old parent said, I know you heard me, but are you listening? It's kind of like that. You know, we got to be ready to receive. Verse 21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains. Then he goes on to say, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. James instructs us how to properly hear the word of God, how to properly receive it. And he uses a metaphor of soiled clothing. He's saying that we are to take off any sort of ungodliness, any sort of unrighteous anger that we just learned about, any sort of filth or corruption. We are to shed those clothes off when we are hearing the word of God, when we are receiving the word of God. Meaning that in order to properly hear the word of God and in order to properly receive the word of God, what this is saying is that we must get rid of anything that would distract us from hearing and receiving the word of God. That's what he's getting at in verse 21. That we are commanded, when we receive the word, to prepare ourselves. We hear it, but we must also be prepared to receive it. Getting rid of the soiled clothes, anything that would drag us down from hearing the word of God. So back to the primary means of hearing, preaching. What do you do before preaching? How do you prepare your own heart to receive the word of God? Do you fill your minds and your eyes with the things of this world? Do you just consume the things on social media and on your phone, not really giving any sort of real thought to what you're about to do when you come here at 11 o'clock? Do you just entertain yourself before the preached word? Or do you prepare yourself to receive it? Because what we're doing here is vital. It's important. So you really should be ready to receive the word of God preached. It takes discipline. But you should prepare your hearts before worship. Not to busy your mind and occupy your mind with anything that would desensitize you to the word of God. But prepare your heart to receive, to hear and to receive. So perhaps you read a psalm. Perhaps you pray or listen to a good Christian hymn or song, ridding your minds of the earthly business to prepare yourself. It's what's so wonderful with how a church, and this church in particular, can structure a worship service. You hear a call to worship. You hear a prayer, a pastoral prayer. You hear songs, all of that helping us to get ready to receive the word of God as we are about to hear it. And then not only do we receive it, but we receive it in humility. This is really telling us how we receive it. That Christian humility is receiving the word of God and that receiving that all the word of God is true. For all scripture is breathed out by God. So we receive the word of God by believing the word of God. This word receive means to actually react favorably toward. And then also it means to accept something as authoritative. That is what that original word means, to accept something as authoritative and accept it favorably. So we are to receive the word of God, receive the word implanted. And so to receive it in humility means we are receiving the word of God to be all true and authoritative and sufficient. That we don't need something outside of the word of God for life and godliness. And that also means that if we're going to receive it, we can't just receive all the good stuff in the word. We receive all that's in the word. So if God rebukes you, receive it. If God convicts you, receive it. If he encourages you, receive it. See, receiving the word humbly when we hear it means that we are not trying to stand in judgment over the word. We're letting the word stand in judgment over us. So that is how you receive it in humility. But then notice the grace that's built in this verse. It's the word implanted. That God has planted the word in your heart. That's a wonderful reminder of God's grace, that he puts his word in his people. And in doing so, he plants his word deep within our hearts. And the word of God is an inseparable, permanent part of the believer's life. He writes it on our hearts. It's the implanted word. He's planting it deep down. He's rooted and grounded in us. And then there's this dynamic sense of as God has implanted the word, as we receive the word of God, it germinates, it grows and springs up from within us. That the word of God that he has planted in our hearts take root and starts to grow. So when we hear the word of God and we receive the word of God, the word becomes bigger in our hearts because it's been planted in us, and it germinates as we hear and receive. Because you notice it also goes on to say, which is able to save your soul. The implanted word of God is able to save your soul. Now, this is not talking about saving as in like justification. This is talking about in a sanctifying sense. That, you know, we are saved once and for all, but we are also being saved, sanctified, and then we will also be saved, glorified. But here it is talking about the present tense moment that the word of God in your Christian life is able to sanctify you. It is able to grow you. That word that has been implanted, as you receive more of it, it will grow and grow and grow in your heart. And it will cause you to grow, to mature, to walk in godliness, to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness. It is the word of God that's been implanted that does transform us and renew us. That is what it means that we are being saved, that it is able to save our souls, is able to sanctify us. And we have great news that what God has started by implanting the word of God in us, he will bring to completion. He has started the work, he is doing the work, and he's going to finish the work. All through his word. Much like the parable of the sower. As a true born-again Christian, we have the good soil in our heart. And God has planted that seed in the soil of our heart. And it is through hearing and through receiving the word of God that it germinates and that it grows. And ultimately, what will it do? It will produce fruit in the life of the believer. So hear God's word. Quick to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. And then receive it in all humility, for it is able to save your soul. So we hear it and we receive it. But then we are to do it. We can't stop short of the finish line. Because if we hear it and receive it, we've missed that last step. The word of God says you hear it, you receive it, and you also do it. Verse 22. So after you've heard, after you received, but also prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers, who delude or deceive themselves. Imagine talking to a man who says that he's an avid hunter. And as you're talking to him, and he's going to talk about hunting, he's going to tell you about all the guns he owns and all the calibers he shoots. And you ask him, and this is how he responds about, tell me more about your hunting endeavors. And he tells you, well, I went to the largest hunters conference last year and went and heard a bunch of hunters speak about hunting. I watched the best TV shows on hunting. In fact, just a few months ago, I started a small group with a bunch of hunters and we talk about hunting. I even know the Greek word for hunting. Oh, by the way, here's my blog on hunting, and I hope to start a podcast on hunting this year. But then you ask, but have you actually ever gone hunting? What game have you killed? And you respond, oh no, I've never actually killed anything and gone hunting. I just like to hear about it. What would you say to that man? You say he's deceived himself into thinking he's a hunter. But now, say you're talking to a man who says he's a Christian. Even an avid one. And he tells you, I go to the best Christian conferences. I hear the best Christian preachers. I know the Greek words. I have a blog too. But he doesn't do the word of God? Wouldn't you also say he has deceived himself? It's what James is saying. Hearer only, receiving only, knowledge only, right answers only. There is no shortage of resources. There is no shortage of information. There is a shortage of is application. There's a shortage of obedience. There's a shortage of doing the Word of God. Maturity is not what you know. Maturity is living obediently in light of what you know. We are not to be hearers only. We are not, as Christians, we are not just about information. The gospel is ultimately about transformation. That the gospel that brought you forth to life is the gospel that can save your soul, that can sanctify you and mature you. And so when we hear and receive and study the Word of God, we must always be looking to put that Word into practice. Hearing the Word and receiving the Word is not enough. It says if that's all you're doing, you've actually deceived yourself. Obedience is the mark of the true child of God. And may I also say, obedience is not legalism. Obedience is the fruit. Obedience to God's word demonstrates that the faith that we profess is true and genuine. The Bible says that if you love me, you will keep God. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so if we keep his commandments, we know first we've been first loved and we also love him. See, obedience and doing the word of God in the Christian life is not a peripheral issue over here. In fact, obedience in the Christian life is the very center of knowing that you love God and are devoted to him. That genuine love for Jesus manifests itself in obedience and doing the word of God. It marks true profession. That's why we have church membership and church discipline, do we not? So see, when the new birth occurs, we are changed from the inside out, and obedience is living out that new identity, right? We don't do the word to get saved, as we said, but we desperately, as born-again Christians, we desperately want to do the word to exalt and glorify the Savior because he's already saved my soul. So in doing the word, we look to Jesus, who is the one who has fulfilled all righteousness. He is the one that supplies our strength. And as we live as doers of the word, we stare intently into the law of liberty, stare intently into the gospel, reminding ourselves that we've been raised with Christ. We're seated in the heavenly places. Our life is hidden with God. And one day we will appear with him in glory. And so we do the word in light of the one, Jesus Christ, who's already done the word. And it's because he's done it all, we live as doers of the word, seeing ourselves in light of God's gracious embrace of us in his Son. We obey from grace, not to get grace. We're not seeking to earn favor. We are obedient because we've received favor. So a living faith obeys after hearing in receiving. So we embrace the word of truth. We embrace the good news that Jesus died for my sins, obeyed all the commandments for me, and rose again and ascended to the throne of heaven. But then he gives this wonderful picture, this wonderful illustration of what a doer is in verses 23 and 24. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, but once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. It's like looking in the mirror and seeing your outfit all messed up, and then walking away from the mirror and never bothering to fix it. See, there's one mirror, but there's two types of lookers here. There's one that glances at the mirror, at the word of God, just glances at it, doesn't really care what the mirror has to say. Look at it, walk away. But then you have another looker into the mirror who's looking intently, studying it, meditating upon it, putting it into practice. See, that's what the mirror of God's word will do. The mirror of God's word is not there for us to admire ourselves. It's there to show us who we really are. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division between soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. As we should look intently into the word of God. And it's going to always be honest. You know, the mirror never lies. You know, sometimes people jokingly say, when did I get so old? Well, the mirror ain't lying to you. And then when you look into the word of God and it convicts you of your sin, it confronts you of unrighteousness, it's not lying to you. But don't walk away from it with a quick glance. Look intently into the law of liberty and receive grace. See, the word of God is showing us who we really are. Don't be the one that just takes a quick glance at it. Be the one who hears and receives and does. Look intently into it. But ultimately, it will look intently into you. So, receive it, hear it, do it. And then notice what it says about doing. In verse 25, this man, the one looking intently, the one who does it, will be blessed in what he does. We're told that the person who hears, receives, and does is a blessed man. It's what Jesus says in Luke 11, does he not? Blessed are those who hear the word and obey it. The blessing is actually in the doing. You're not blessed simply because you hear. You're blessed because you do. So what are we to do then? If there's the blessing, right, we should grab that blessing. Well, let me speak for a moment to anyone here who is outside of Christ. What does this have to do with you? Because it's really talking to Christians. And you might not have any sort of desire to do the word of God, and you won't until you're born again. But what does the scripture tell you to do? Where's the blessing for you? Well, it tells you to repent of your sin and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, came to this earth and he obeyed the law, fulfilled all righteousness in your place. He actively obeyed. And then he went to the cross and died for sinners as a payment for sin, as a sacrifice and a substitute standing in your stead. And this is all out of God's great love. Then he was died and buried, and then God raised him from the dead, saying that he accepts the work of Christ for all those who would believe. And what he says is that you must turn away from your sin. You must trust in Jesus the gospel for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you turn and trust, you'll receive forgiveness and everlasting life. But see, the command from God is for you to believe. It's not a take it or leave it. He tells you this day to come. And he won't cast you out. He'll receive you. Christ is sufficient to pay for all your sins. And that's the good news of the gospel, is that you can be made right with God. You really can today. And God tells you to come to him. That's what you do. You want real blessing? Obey the word of God. Obey the word of the gospel by turning from the ways of this world and turning to Jesus Christ alone by faith. And you'll receive blessing. There's blessing in that doing. Knowing that it's all by faith. And Jesus Christ has done all the work for you. But then, for the rest of us here that are born again believers, I'm not going to go through the myriad of commands for you to obey, that God would have you obey. I'll just leave it very general. Do what it says. For him who knows what is right and does it not, for him it is sin. Is it the most miserable Christian in the world, the one that's not obeying the word of God? So the Bible says, don't gossip, do it. Bible says, be generous, do it. I mean, wasn't God generous to you in the gospel? How could we not be generous now? It says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Well, how can you do that? Well, you see it in light of the gospel. Christ sacrificed his life for you. So now you can lay down your life for the good of your wife. Submit to your husband, the scripture says to wives. Do it. Children, honor your father and mother. Be a doer of the word and honor them. Evangelize, pray, disciple. Don't forsake the gathering. Train your children. Study. Love God. Love others. We hear, we receive, and we do. And James says that if we hear and receive and don't do, we are deceiving ourselves and are on dangerous ground. But today, Psalm 95:8, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Jesus says in Matthew 7, as he's closing on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain fell, floods came, the winds blew on the house, but it did not fall. Why? Because it was built on the rock. He says, that's like a wise man who hears and does. And everyone, he goes on to say, who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Winds came, floods came, and his house fell down. We must all build our life upon the solid ground of the word of God. We hear it, we receive it, and then we do it. Do it like a wise man. Don't be a fool in the words of Jesus. But be wise. Be wise. Receive the words and do. For why do you call Jesus Lord and do not do what he tells you to do? Let's pray. Our Father, I just pray and ask that no one here would be deceived, that we would all be hearers, receivers, and doers of your word. But Lord, for one that may be deceived, would you show them? By your grace, Lord, would you enable us to be doers? We know that this is not detached from your gospel, but it flows as an outworking of your gospel. So help us be doers of your word. Let us be resolved to be doers and obey. For you have the words of eternal life. May we hear, and may we do, and may we be wise. In Jesus' name, amen.